There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
At 107 FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile Thursday style. Glad to have you here. Live local talk over the hour. Phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106, and get to those texts here shortly. And a couple of other bills floating around in Montgomery once they get done with their spring break and get back to work up there on Goat Hill. All right, go to the phones, and first up, it's Paul in Mobile. Hey, Paul.
Hi, Sean. Spring break. Are you doing your show outside?
Yeah, man, I wish I had a convertible studio. It is so pretty outside. Oh, it's gorgeous.
It sure is. Now, Mr. Stacy was talking about how the lottery might be a little more popular than it was a decade ago. And, you know, it's because we have more poor people.
Really? Alabama versus when?
Pardon me?
Versus when? There are more poor people in Alabama versus compared to when?
Than the 10 years ago. That's what Mr. Stacy was saying, that the support of the lottery had changed over the last decade.
Yeah.
There's a lady, Brandy Clark, who has a great song called Pray to Jesus and Play a Lotto. And she calls it, you know, a poor man's bumper sticker. And she says that in the song, they say, there's only two ways to change tomorrow, pray to Jesus and play the lotto.
Right.
And, you know, and a more unequal Alabama is not really what I want.
But you're protecting, you and I go round and round with this. You're protecting people from themselves, and you're telling me they're not driving out and buying lotto tickets yesterday for the Powerball thing?
Yes, and where we disagree is that if people do something wrong, it's okay for them to do more wrong.
I just don't get into judging. But see, but you want to manage. Listen, you and I come at it from different places. You feel like it is government's job to manage the majority of choices. Well, not the majority. Some of the choices for people, right? You believe that the slice of pie that you believe government should control in people's lives is way bigger than the slice of pie that I believe government should be involved with. I mean,
you know,
that's what it boils down to.
We're just talking about gambling.
But you do it on all fronts.
Gambling being illegal around the world. Sean, you know, It affects you and I whether we gamble or not.
Of course it does.
Let's say that there was a clone of you who was a millionaire talk show host, likes hunting and fishing, and he does the Good Morning Stockholm show.
Okay.
You know that person, because he lives in a more equal society than you, he will have less depression. He'll have less mental illness.
You're Euro lust.
Live longer.
Listen,
want to live longer?
This idea of Euro lust. There's some people that that have Europhiles. Everything they do there is better. Listen, why is it that the Western European countries are getting away from the models that now socialists and people that lean that way want to push this country into? Why are they abandoning those things?
Sean, I just use that as an example. There are other countries and there are other parts of the United States. The point is, and where the country is, it's the point is the equality of the society.
How has that worked, though?
This
how has that worked?
Science.
How has that worked? When people want an egalitarian society, I mean, let's look at what happened in Venezuela, okay? Super prosperous Venezuela now is an absolute dumpster fire, correct?
Well, they
embraced socialism through Maduro. I mean, I know. Listen, I know. I've got there are people who live here in Mobile, people from that moved from Venezuela, came here for school, different things, live in our area. And let alone my family, I didn't do it, but my mother traveled a lot to Venezuela about 15 years ago plus, and the place that was there and the place that's there now are not even the same. And what has changed? Socialism. Egalitarianism. It has failed. No. It's failed. Where is it?
What's changed is you have corruption.
You have corruption everywhere.
You have capitalism or socialism.
You have corruption everywhere. There are human beings. So what system is best set up to deal with it?
It's the level of corruption.
Do what?
It's the level of corruption that makes the difference, not that.
Would you rather have corruption
in
a
level of gambling that we're talking about?
But would
a little bit of gambling you think is okay, and so we should have more?
I don't think so. And that's what a lot of times you'll say. Well, you think we should have more? No, I just say it is not my business to tell other people what to do. I mean, that's the difference. You believe it is your business, and you should tell them what to do.
This affects you, Sean.
It's affecting you now. Do you believe
in a less equal society?
Do you believe right now that those societal ills? Because I'm not there. Are people that are gambling advocates who go, "Oh, nothing's wrong with it." Oh, come on. There are societal ills that go with gambling. If you say differently, then you're not being honest either. So those societal ills exist. They cost society money. They cost a family's individual heartache. But guess what? Unless we lived on an island, people are gambling, and those societal ills are coming back home.
And exactly. Why do you want to promote more of it?
It's there. It's already there. The Pandora's box is flipped open.
Stop signs. People run stop signs every day, so we should just pull them up and let everybody run them?
I don't know. If you come up to a four-way stop and there's not a stop sign, you have to consider it a stop sign. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate the call. Grab some more at 343-0106. Once again, having an attitude of individual liberty doesn't mean everything you defend you're a fan of. That is such a simplistic argument that will fail. People want, but I'm going to make, I'll flip it around because I'd love to do this. As soon as I'll jump on one side, let me make this case. Those who will propose that, and you heard Todd talk about it too, Todd Stacey, he said, hey, it's time for Alabama to have the lottery, that people are pushing for the lottery because we're surrounded by lottery states, right? You've heard that. Go watch Evening News tonight, right? They'll say, Alabama, McClendon's bill's getting traction. Now Alabama is completely surrounded by lottery states. It's time for Alabama to get in on the action. Only because the lottery thing is of interest to people who go vote. Because let's do the imaginary thing here. If you're somebody who agrees with that, Alabama better get in on the action because all the states around us are lottery states and people are driving over there spending their money. Agreed, right? So that's happening? That's happening. So what if, in the magical mystery machine, time machine, that Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, and Mississippi all sold recreational marijuana? They were selling you buying it by the bag or the brownies or whatever, the vape, all the weed you can smoke in these states. Would it be time then for Alabama to legalize marijuana? Go hang out. We'll discuss that next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 118 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Thursday. And speaking of this Thursday, another cool Arst event tonight, Cut and Chill Package. Proud to welcome Rafael Benitez of AJ Fernandez Cigar Company. That's at the lounge in the back of Cut and Chill Package tonight from 6 to 9 p.m. Rafael will be there to tell us more about the excellent cigars from AJ Fernandez, including the following lines: New World, San Lotano, Last Call, Bellas Artes, Ramon Alonis, and AJ by AJ and Enclave. All right. So it shows you that they've got a variety. I wish I knew what they were. And the nice thing about going to Cottage Hill Package is you talk to Billy, the tobacconist. Now, I don't smoke, but I have a lot of people on my Christmas list and birthday gift, friends and family, that do. And so I go to Cottage Hill Package, and I go, you know, Billy? He's like, yeah, I know. You don't know anything. I said, okay, give me some cigars. It's really cool. I mean, if you don't know your way around a cigar shop or the giant humidor there, and I'm one of those people, they can explain it all. And tonight, if you are an aficionado, you can go out and check out those excellent cigars. And by the way, tonight's event, you buy four cigars and you'll get one free. You buy seven cigars, you get two free. Buy a box of 20 cigars and get five free. Also holding a raffle for two humidors tonight and plenty of other free swag at AJ Fernandez Cigar Event. That is tonight from 6 to 9. Right there in the back of Cottage Hill Package, corner of Cottage Hill and Hillcrest. Online, cottagehillpackage.com. Also, check them out on Facebook. And tonight, food will be provided, and the bartender will be behind the bar to serve you some fine adult beverages. So, there you go. Let's go to the phones first, and then we'll get the text line. Although, let's go first to Walter in Baldwin County. Hey, Walter.
When does the government reach stop?
I don't think ever. I mean, that, you know, I wondered about that, too. When we get what I call tanning bed bills, and I'm not saying all these are tanning bed bills, but when we get those, you wonder if there would be a time that your elected representatives would go to Montgomery or go to Washington and say, yeah, we don't have anything really to do. We just have to pass the budget, and then we're finished.
Well, you know, it's like people having babies, and we're paying for them all across the spectrum. I mean, that affects everybody, because our tax money has to go to that, and all these illegal aliens coming in here, and we're sending them to school and giving them benefits. I mean, when's it going to stop?
I don't know. I mean, when do you, I don't, I mean, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I don't see any point where it is going to stop.
And well, you know, the way that guy you ever had on the air, I mean, he wants everything to be government, which he needs to move to Venezuela and see how he likes that crap down there.
Well, and there's a thing, and Walter, I appreciate your call. And Paul and I disagree like 90% of the time. Paul and I are essentially the coyote and the sheepdog, you know. But the coyote and the sheepdog would clock in and battle it out and clock out and be civil to each other. That's so one of the many reasons I like talking to Paul. But he sees things differently. He sees government being there as the facilitator of egalitarianism. I say that I've watched history, I've studied history and watched current events, and I don't see that to be true. In a vacuum, and all, it's all well and good, but every time I've seen it play out, even in when people say, well, look, like he wants to make the reference to, you know, let's talk about Baltic states. You know, if you were in Sweden or if you were in Norway, and if I was in Norway, I'd live in Lillehammer, and I'd wear one of those fancy Norwegian sweaters with all the intricate network. You live somewhere like that, then you have you have all these services, and there's not as much differences between people and income levels and all these things. That's not, first of all, that's not socialism. It's capitalism with big safety nets. It's expensive capitalism with safety nets. So it isn't socialism. The means of production, and still you still have, I mean, Nokia, the big cell phone manufacturer, They're not owned by, so are they Swedish or are they, they're not Finnish, not Norway. I think they're Swedish. Nokia is not owned by the Swedish government. Owned, you know, it's actually publicly, if I think correctly, publicly traded company. But you have a very safety net, big hammock safety net capitalism going on there. But that's not socialism. What happened in Venezuela is socialism. And you watch what it did in an attempt to try to even out. If you think about any economy, you have peaks and valleys, right? Sometimes you have big valleys. Reminds me of that song, theme song. You have big valleys. Sometimes you have high peaks. But you're hoping that day in and day out, there are just hills and hollers, right? It's not Everest next to Death Valley, right? They're not that. You're trying to even things out. Well, people will argue in an egalitarian or socialist system, you can even those out. You can even out the outcome for people based on government controls. And listen, our system of government still has, even as a republic, we still have a lot of governor, you know, not a governor, a governor with a little G, like a governor you put on a golf go-kart, you don't want the kids to drive fast. We have governors on the system, and we have ways to crank start engines. Those are there because people can't deal with the bigger trough and the higher peak, right? They try to keep it squished down. In a system of straight socialism, the government controls means of production. Government's dictating that. Government, every time they have done that, and I to think that everybody that decides that they're going to, you know, and I think there's a lot of naive people now with the new rise of socialism, the AOC crowd and all that stuff. I think there are some people that are just ignorant to history, and they say, man, that sounds good, and wouldn't that be nice? And but there are also, there's a lot of people go into it with good intentions, but the problem is the system of government is not going to make the right choice every time. But thousands, hundreds of thousands, hundreds of millions free people making their own decisions every day will they all make the right decision? Heck no. There will be people make bad decisions, but there'll be people make good decisions, and the whole system will work better. All right, a couple of these here. Oh, this is on the marijuana stuff. Yeah, I mean, I just pointed that out. I mean, I'm pretty laissez-faire on the right of referendum. I think people should have the right to vote whether we amend the Constitution and the state has lottery. Although I will point out, I think the real thing that should be done, the real thing should just be voting on all gambling to see if people want that. But if it's going to be lottery, I think it's a fair question to ask, why shouldn't it be legalization of lotteries in the state of Alabama? In other words, that the practice of running a lottery would be legal in Alabama, but the state wouldn't be in the game. State wouldn't have a bureau, a lottery bureau and commission and a building and be in the business of doing all this. What the state would do is say, hey, lotteries are legal. If the private entities, the people that pulled their capital together, risked their capital in doing this, they paid a license fee, whatever that would be, to hold a lottery license, you would have to prove that you were bonded to a certain amount. Okay, this Dalton and Sean's lottery is bonded. We can pay out up to $100 million or whatever it is. So we're bonded at that level. We prove that to the state. Then we pay our fee to have a private lottery in the state. We can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Somebody else can do it. Mom can do it. Dad can do it. Sis, brother, everybody who puts the money together can do a lottery. Then, number one, you have a marketplace effect of having the best-run lotteries succeed. Okay, you would have the advantage of, for the consumer, they'll be like, our lotteries pay out more, pay more people, whatever it is, to incentivize more people to buy lottery tickets in their lottery. And then the state, at the end of the year, end of the fiscal year, would take some to-be-determined percentage of the net of that private lottery. So the state gets money from this license fee at the front. The state would get revenue on the backside if they made, you know, whatever the percentage would be. Out of the profits of that lottery, the state would get that. Now the state gets the revenue at once from the lottery, but the state's not in the lottery business. And when the lottery starts getting less fashionable, revenues start getting lower, when things start to have bad times, people aren't buying as many tickets, or good times and people aren't buying as many tickets because they don't need the mental opiate of what would happen if I won the lottery. Well, guess what? The state still gets revenue in and they have no risk. Is it strange to anybody else other than me that lotteries, which I will argue are the wine spritzer of the gambling world, right? Lotteries, you don't hear, like, they don't make, De Niro doesn't make a movie about the lottery world. There's no De Niro movie full of mobsters and goings-on, technical term, goings-on, about people playing the lottery. It's about dice and cards, right? Okay. So we agree that lottery is the lighter choice. The diet gambling is a lottery. But across the fruited plain, anywhere there's a lottery, the states run the lotteries. And the private sector runs the Class 3 gaming. I mean, you would argue, don't you think, if it was something so dangerous that it would be the province of government. The governments would run the Class 3 gaming. The government that would protect us, as Paul wants the government to do, the government that would protect us, they would run the dice game and the cards, and I make sure that, you know, we didn't get in trouble in the council. And they would leave the private sector to this thing that isn't as dangerous because we can't trust the private sector. But it's completely inverse from that. All right, so we'll see where McClendon's bill goes. This lottery debate is an old one. This is, yes, in my lifetime, this is the best chance I've seen of something happening where people get a right of referendum. Oh, speaking of bills, I saw Cassie Fambro's story over at by NBC15. I referenced this on my Twitter feed earlier. This is not the first time this has come up. It really was a big push during the same-sex marriage debate at a national level, and that is getting the state out of the marriage business. I would argue there are some people that will argue get the state out of the marriage business, not because they're using it as some kind of leverage against same-sex couples. There are people, maybe like me, that think the government doesn't need to be in that. But it's a push by Republican Senator Greg Allbritton, who wants to, he says, return to a simpler process, doing away with marriage license altogether. He's proposed doing so with Senate Bill 69. Allbritton says that fixes the problem. There's more litigation coming unless we do something. In the 4 years same-sex marriage has been legal, Alabama has been involved in multiple scandals, including the removal of Chief Justice Roy Moore. Remember that. Senator Allbritton, who represents Clark County, says he's pushing for this Senate Bill 69 to get the state of Alabama out of the marriage business. I'll tell you what he says the state would do and individuals will do when we come back. More of that right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 135, FM Talk 106.5. Help me. We talked about it a second ago, this story. So, Devin, on the update from WKRG, talking about kids and their sunscreen bottles with the vodka in it. Is it only vodka? They don't... No gin? No bourbon? What's the problem with bourbon? What's with kids these days? That they're putting them in sunscreen bottles. And so my initial reaction is... Just the idea of leftover some, if it's like the Coppertone Sport, or even if it's something fancy like Panama Jack, you know, Panama Jack with hat and monocle, which I've never understood the whole story behind Panama Jack, why he has that monocle. Does he have it for looks, or does he really use it to be able to see? But the kids are pouring the vodka in the bottles of sunscreen and then drinking out of it. That's got to leave like a like aftertaste.
You know, as far as I understand, I think they buy empty bottles of sunscreen that are sold as sunscreen flasks.
Oh, novelty items.
Novelty items. They also have binoculars, of course.
No, you know what they're called?
What?
Barnoculars.
Of course. I should have known that. Barnoculars.
Barnoculars,
and, yeah. And I've seen some cell phones, fake cell phones that you can flask up. But
it better maybe, be like the newest big... There's got to be a giant... It ought to be a Motorola bag phone if I'm going to carry that as a flask.
Foldable new phones. Maybe you could do that.
A little phone full of vodka just make you angry.
As far as I know, maybe I'm putting too much on the intelligence of kids now. Maybe they are... filling up sunscreen bottles, because it's impossible to get that sunscreen out, right?
I would imagine, yes. I would hope that was true. I hope if the kids that are trying to thwart the rules of no alcohol on the beach down there in South Baldwin County, I hope they're using just the emptied out sunscreen bottles, because maybe they won't get a taste for alcohol after they have some Coppertone Sport 50 coating their tongue with whatever booze they're drinking.
Some of the spirits I've tasted in my day probably wouldn't tell the difference if there was sunscreen mixed in. But you go to the Hangout Fest, and of course the people watching is almost as good as the lineup at Hangout Fest most of the time. I've seen plenty of people drinking out of sunscreen bottles.
I'm sorry, it's just y'all, for a second, picture that yeah, there's you're walking by. So you're walking down the beach. Say we're down at Orange Beach, walking down the beach, looking for shells, sand crabs, whatever. And I walk by some people sitting on a towel, and one of them's got the thing of Panama Jack SPF 50 turned up, and they're just both hands squeezing into their mouth. At that point, I go, move along, kids. Move along.
You know, I assumed that most of these teenagers, college kids, are putting them in the squeeze-out sunscreen bottles, but maybe they're putting them in the spritzer sunscreen bottles and spraying it right into their mouths.
Our buddy Jason said, this is right. He said, that's disgusting. Vodka is about the stiffest solvent you can find. Duh. Yes, it is. And he said, no way, that doesn't pull the taste out of the clean plastic. So you're saying most people, and I see the text, that they're... Geronimo says they sell them at Spencer's. Do we still have a Spencer's?
There might still be a Spencer's in the Bel Air Mall.
I'm so bad. I don't shop. I don't do anything. He said they're called rum runners.
Rum runners.
Which I hope then, if they're rum runners, they're Panama Jack and not like Coppertone Sport.
If you walk by the screening room, you see me taking a snort from the sunscreen bottle. Are you gonna say anything, or are you just gonna assume I'm that kid that eats glue?
Well, we know you are. Speaking of it, we see pictures of young Dalton over on his Twitter feed, at Dalton Orwig on Twitter. Oh, this is good. They should use Purell bottles. So that way, you know, but they would have to have the bubbly effect, because a Purell looks like vodka, but with bubbles, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this is kind of, in a way, to bring it back to legislation and lottery and marijuana. You're going to find a way. Kids are going to find a way. People are going to find a way around anything.
Thank you.
They outlaw alcohol on the beach. And instead of, you know, having
regular... The net effect would be, you would think, oh, you make it illegal, the kids won't take booze on the beach.
Yeah, they charge too much money and they won't serve to underage kids, as they shouldn't at Hangout Festival and places like that.
Agreed.
They're going to start drinking out of sunscreen bottles. Now, which is worse? Drinking out of a sunscreen bottle or sneaking in a bottle? And which one's easier to catch? I'd say having someone just sneak in a regular bottle of liquor would be easier to catch and less harmful than the sunscreen they're taking in.
I wonder, so what would be the regulation if you had a non-glass soft side, like pop-off fifth, a plastic bottle, and you filled it with Purell? Are you allowed to bring hand sanitizer in, but it happens to be, you don't have to drink, but like they say, that you can't bring that in, that's vodka. In fact, it's chock full of Purell.
Yeah, I'm just cleaning my hands.
I know this is going to be a dirty thing. Look at some of the bands playing. I'm going to have to, you know, with these people around me, I'm going to have to clean my hands off. So I don't, these are quick. But you're, I mean, it is. It's, the point is that you have to have, I mean, the idea of not having law, but you have to have some pragmatism in this as well. When you make so many laws, whether they be specifically hands-free, texting while driving, don't do this specific thing, don't do that specific thing, the market, which is we the people, will find a way around it. Now, will you curtail it some? Sure. But the lawmakers talk about it like they're going to solve everything with the, and it just doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. Better energy spent to curtail the desire for whatever these things are. And there's some things you're never going to curtail the desire for. That's in the human DNA. It's hardwired. Or then maybe you want to say, okay, instead of trying to fight it at every step, can you channel it? Can you put it to where it has the least detrimental effect on society possible?
So maybe it would be a better anti-motivator, a better deterrent to, beside the post on the beaches that says the different flags, you know, purple flag, red flag.
Here we go.
Also have a PSA disclaimer that says drinking sunscreen, bad for you.
Because we need to tell people, just like the boil water in effect, we have I don't know if they've lifted it yet, but Mall's had a boil water warning in effect for the area north of Dolphin Street, east of 65 and west of Sage, because of that wreck yesterday, and they had opened up some lines, and Mall's had to do some work there. So they did the boil water thing. And part of it says, so if you're drinking water, you need to boil it first. And then it says, I probably still have the, because I had it this morning, had the, here it is. Yeah, this is what came from our news partners this morning at WKRG. It said, empty refrigerator ice trays, use hot water. Okay. There's one of them here where it says, okay, number two on their list, boil water for 3 minutes or use bottled water for consumption, cooking, brushing teeth, etc. Let water cool before use.
So
if you have boiling water that you've boiled to get the contaminants out, or to render neutral the contaminants, make sure you let it cool down before you drink it.
They don't want any lawsuits or bad tweets. And
this is a real thing.
Before we think that people wouldn't let the water cool down before, there were people, remember the eclipse a couple years ago?
Mm-hmm.
The total eclipse? And people, after that, went to the hospital for putting sunscreen on their eyeballs.
They did not. That's an urban legend.
I think it's a real story that there were some people that put sunscreen on their eyeballs. Okay, maybe I've been caught in the urban myth.
Listen, we'll have to go. Yeah,
I'll need to Google that.
Yeah, let's get on.
I'm a Bing guy now.
You're not Bing. You're not using
I'm trying
Bing.
It out.
Bing. Bing to me, Bing is like... I can't even with the Bing. It's like kind of how I feel about Facebook these days.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we got the very active Facebook page, and I appreciate all y'all's interaction, just personally, because I try to shoot y'all straight every time I open up Facebook now. Something has changed with me, and it's not just the bias against conservatives, because Lord knows I'm on Twitter, which I'll get to a Twitter story about the president in a second. Twitter still seems fresh and new and fun. Facebook is starting to smell like a retirement home to me.
It's starting to grind your gears a little bit.
Yeah, I'm not digging it. I don't know. I mean, I don't hate it, but there's the pizzazz mm-hmm. is not there for me anymore.
Nextdoor, way better than Facebook. Nextdoor is way better.
Nextdoor, which raised the age on Facebook by 26 years. All right, text here, Doug. Doug said maybe you call it copper stoned.
Yeah, that's kind nice.
Of possible. Let's see here. Bark says, nothing like the taste of Jack smuggled in a Listerine bottle onto a cruise ship. I imagine that's by personal experience. Mark, nice mm-hmm. Nice idea. What about a Circle K Big Gulp? What, you put the vodka in there? I don't think you can bring in your...
They probably won't let you bring in a Big Gulp. They'd prefer
to the beach,
you buy their...
No Big Gulps.
No. Well, if you're at a festival, they'd prefer you buy their $8, 12-ounce
sure, yeah,
drinks.
You can't get that. But if you're going down the beach, I guess what this texter's asking, if you just have a Big Gulp, do they come check the... Do you get?
Do they smell the Big Gulp?
Well, I was wondering if they cup check, but that meant something else when you played high school sports. But are they cup checking here? Also, texter says after they get drunk, they'll start putting on vodka as sunscreen. These are some of the dangers.
You don't right? want to get the bottles mixed up because a guy like me needs sunscreen.
Where's this texter been forever? This is the most logical texter ever. They should just put it in empty water bottles. Of course, they wouldn't be empty. They'd have vodka, but they just put them in water bottles.
There was a lot of that going on in my high school.
In school?
In high school, yes.
Yeah. Like during school?
During school.
Like during, like when you were in school?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
8 and 3?
Yeah. Like high school, not, this wasn't junior high.
Yeah, I don't
even
care
though there were probably
school.
A couple in junior high.
It is very rare the time that you hear me sound naive or shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They're not just kind of who I am. Not much. People say, oh, this is shocking. I go, it's not shocking. That's music. Not much shocks me. People toting water bottles full of vodka into high school.
I'd like to say I was cool enough to be less naive than you are now when I was sitting in class. But yeah, I found out lots of people in my school drink.
Like, they didn't mind, and I continue to run with that same bunch of ne'er-do-wells, and they still do. We all, but we didn't do it, like, during, like, 8 to 3.
Yeah, no, this is class before after-school athletics.
Our coaches would have made sure you were throwing up at the beginning of football practice. They'd gotten it out of your system.
Definitely.
My God, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
All right, let's do this, too, as we run to the break. Looking for caller number 6 right now at 343-0106. I got a family 4-pack of tickets to the Mobile Chocolate Festival. That is this weekend at the grounds, March 30th, 11th annual. Caller number 6, we've got your family 4-pack of tickets. Good luck. 343-0106, and we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Now, I should have hung out with more of y'all back in the day because I could have said, oh, yeah? I know that I, Mom and Dad, I did whatever it was wrong. But look at the people that one day I'll be dealing with when I'm a 46-year-old man. They're doing worse than I am. I shouldn't get in trouble. By the way, young people listening, that doesn't work. Hey, congratulations to Norm Rollo. Just won a family 4-pack of tickets to the Chocolate Festival. That is March 30th, so this happens Saturday at the grounds, 11th annual. Proceeds to benefit Penelope House. Admission free for children 13 and under. They will have vendors with samples and products, which is chocolate, also children's area, mobile fixture demonstration area, the Chocolate Challenge, Project Yumway. Oh, I get jokes. Thank you, Tony Ant. Like, not Runway, but Yumway. Chocolate Martini Tasting, Cupcake Booth, Chocolate Milk Mustache Booth, and a whole lot more that's happening at the grounds Saturday, March 30th. It is the 11th annual Mobile Chocolate Festival. We'll give some more tickets away. Coming up on that and see you out there this weekend. Also, a reminder, once again, tonight at Cottage Hill Package, Rafael Benitez of A.J. Fernandez Cigar Company is there for their A.J. Fernandez Cigar event. And you come out tonight, you can check out what's brand new from AJ Fernandez. And while you're there, if you buy 4 cigars, you'll get 1 free. You buy 7 cigars, you get 2 free. Buy a box of 20 cigars, you get 5 free. Also, they'll hold a raffle for 2 humidors and plenty of other free swag. Food's going to be provided. Bartender will be behind the bar to serve you fine adult beverages. Because you're over 20, you're 21 or over, and you're in an establishment as a grown-up. You're not in 7th grade. Y'all have blown me away with this. This is good. I love this kind of stuff where it's eye-opening. Like I said, naivete has never been my Achilles heel until today. Like, I was no angel. I'm not anybody who's going to give you the same old Alabama political line that didn't do anything wrong. I'm no angel. But I guess compared to some of the 7th grade. Ben said 7th grade, drinking in class in 7th grade. Like, just my jaw is on the floor. Jennifer says water bottles, Coke bottles, Sprite, even orange juice bottles, they would take into school depending on the drink. I am happy. If I can do half a good a job as my parents did, protecting me for some period of time here. Wow. I'm sorry. I've just gotten into to all the different ways people were smuggling. It wasn't the idea that kids weren't drinking in high school, which is bad, but I mean, of course that was going on when I was 1980s, man. Members only jackets, breakdancing, parachute pants, and underage drinking. These things went on. No shock there. That's not like nothing, like zero shock. It's just like the in-school part of it, I think, that has left me slack-jawed. I saw this over on our on the Twitter feed. True story. Is this one of my tweeps? True story, Azalea Middle School, scotch from my father's cabinet, in a... This is I love the detail here. In a rave hairspray bottle, Johnny Walker Red. So I don't know which distillant was more powerful there. What was left over in the rave hairspray or the Johnny Walker Red? This is the mid pack Johnny Walker. It's not the green is the cheapest, right? You got Johnny Walker Green and Red, and then is it black then blue, or is it blue then black? I mean, one's a Kenny Wayne Shepherd song, one's the ordering in Johnny Walker. So I mean, y'all, if this will be a whole show one day, the number of people how naive I was that were going into the classroom with alcohol. Just, this is good. I feel like my brain has had a peppermint because I've had a realization that I'm not as jaded. Maybe I'm not as jaded as I thought I was, which is a beautiful, happy thing. All right, I want to get to this Twitter story before we wrap it up. And this is interesting because I have just finished over the last couple of weeks. I think it was about a week ago, a week and a half ago. I listened to a podcast. It was an in-depth discussion about the how they work, who gets kicked off Twitter, who gets suspended, the rules of operations. And it was, Dorsey and that was talking about, of course, Jack Dorsey, one of the founders of Twitter, and his story, like who he is as a person, how he grew up in Missouri and kind of a regular family, is really interesting. I think it helps frame some of the things you hear from him today. He seems like a balanced guy, even for a Silicon Valley guy. He seems like a balanced guy compared to a lot of the people I hear talking. So I thought that was interesting. But this is a discussion of a possible, it wouldn't be, I mean, is it censorship? Because is it truly censorship when they're private companies or publicly held companies? You know, when you start talking about censoring, you start talking about what's available in the private domain. But Twitter is talking about possibly limiting the president's tweets, or if he has a tweet that violates here or violates there, that getting removed. Would that be something? If he had to go, again, if he got the, hey, you've got to remove your tweet, or that may actually be the biggest move ever for President Trump. If he could get, what do? They suspend you for however many days? If the president of the United States did something on Twitter to get suspended, that would be, you talk about being a martyr, being a digital martyr. Might be a brilliant thing if he wants to do it. So here's the story. It's Idea is that Twitter going forward will... Where did it go? What did this happen? Maybe the computer... It looks like the computer actually has been drinking during class as well. I did have a story before the computer went on the fritz talking about this. So we... Okay, let me see if it... it's coming back up, Y'all hold on. Technology's at work or doing something here. Or maybe it's not going to come back. There it is. All right, story from the Hill. If it sticks up there. Twitter considering labeling Trump tweets that violate rules. The Twitter executive says yesterday companies considering a new feature that will label tweets from politicians, including President Trump, when they violate Twitter rules. Vijay Getty, who is Twitter's head of legal policy, who is attractive. Lady. Vijay Getty, head of legal policy and trust and safety, said to the Washington Post folks that the company might start annotating offensive tweets from public figures with a message of why they remain up. So, once again, the idea is if you or I did the tweet, we'd be asked to remove them or we'd be suspended. They said because of the newsworthiness of a tweet from a public figure, they will leave them up, but they'll put like a warning label on them. Going forward, Getty was responding to a question about whether the president's allowed to say whatever he wants on Twitter. Twitter's policies dictate that tweets from politicians are important to the public debate. Therefore, they can stay up, but they may get a warning label. I'll tweet this story out. We can talk about it tomorrow morning. When I come back for the next show, which is Mobile Mornings, it'll be a Friday. Feinbaum on the way next. Bye, y'all.